picked off. Ashton Miller, Melancol read it perfectly but could not secure the pill. And so he stays on 14 on his quest for history. Number 24, Calgary Stampeders draftee. Not the man you want to test. Former Governor General Award winner, one of the best student athletes in the country. Second and 10 from the Waterloo 35. Three men on the right-hand side. Orr is going to look left, step up over the middle. He shakes off one tackler, but he is swarmed and dropped by Justin Pace and James Gillingham as Justin Pace is tossed as we have got another ugly situation. I hate to see this, and it's not just one side, folks. It's both teams. Student athletes, guys. Student part of it. Use your head. Ah, that's frustrating. Both teams, I hate to see it. I'd like sportsmanship from both sides, folks, here. It's not any one team that is instigating this. They're both getting a little ugly here. Yeah, that's fair. 10-yard penalty on Queens. I don't disagree. I absolutely don't disagree. I hope these teams can let cooler heads prevail here, because I don't want to see something get ugly on a beautiful day like this. So it's going to be a first and 10 around the 45-yard line. Nick Orr makes Stephen Capea miss. He's looking downfield, out of bounds. No catch there. So we'll get a second and long coming up. If the Gales had let cooler heads prevail, they'd already be off the field. But for the second time today, penalties have given the opposing offense a new lease on life, and we nearly saw a fantastic play from Nick Orr there. It will fall to the turf, though, so it'll be second and 10 from about the 46-yard line of the Warriors. If you're just joining us, it's a 32-3 ball game here on the Waterloo homecoming. Three receivers on the right-hand side for Nick Orr. I think we're going to see Anthony Miller stay into pass block. Yes, indeed. Orr over the middle. Great catch there. Picking up another first down. Gale's a little bit out of position, as Eric Johnston is on now for Tristan Burrell. Great throw and catch for the Warriors, trying to score the first touchdown against this Queens defense on the road this season. 2 minutes to go here in our first half of football action. Quarter two, brought to you by Old Farm Fine Food. Three eligible receivers on the right-hand side. It's going to be another pass from Orr. Orr over the middle. Nearly made a mistake there. Keegan Vanek on the scene. Almost high-pointed that one for an interception, but it will fall harmlessly to the turf. OJ, good pass rush, but no sack there. You know, he's got to be hungry for a quarterback tackle for loss against the explosive, outstanding Nick Orr. Over 350 net yards last week for Waterloo number 4. Yet to really get Evan Basilega in the ball game here. You know, he's going to be looking to him sometime soon. Orr going to pass on second and long over the middle. Caught. Wow. It was bobbled and secured on the way down. I thought for the life of me that was dropped, but that was a great play from Webster, and this Waterloo crowd clearly down with Webster on that one, as he has picked up his second first down of the drive, as Waterloo, who could have easily folded up after that last Queens touchdown, I think perhaps the after the whistle stuff has breathed new life into this Warriors offense. Multiple men in motion on the right-hand side. Orr is going to look left. It's a screen pass. And Anthony Miller is going to get tackled up. And Waterloo is once again in touchdown range, as the Gales' undisciplined defensive play with a penalty has cost them once again, And now Waterloo has got a chance to get this crowd back into the ball game. First and goal. Or dropping back, looking to the end zone. Keegan Vanek nearly a pass interference. Interesting. Might have been a push off on Vanek. We are going to have to wait for the official ruling. As it will be either first and goal.
Pass interference.
Okay, pass interference. So they're going to move up and get another crack a little closer. First and goal with a minute 13 to go in our first half of football action. Gales had this drive dead to rights, but a penalty has got Nick Orr knocking on the door. As Orr, I don't think, is going to get it on first. But that may not be the worst thing. Hey, they're going to give it to him. Good for Waterloo. As the crowd gets loud for the first time in a little bit, Waterloo trying to get back into this game. Trailing 32-9, but this Queens offense will get the ball back with a chance to hit 40 for the first half. And if I'm Queens, my goal is to try and build a lead and get my guys out of the line of fire by the end of the third quarter. There you go, 32-10. So there's the first touchdown surrendered by this Queens defense on the road. Credit to the Warriors offense there. Queens up 32-10. But it was 32-3. As we have a minute and 8 seconds left in our first half of football action. As we've got Russell Weir, Jace Baldwin, and Ethan Dahl back to return. Gales, I think, are going to be aggressive here, try and put up one more score before halftime. They have one punt and four touchdowns. Sorry, two punts and four touchdowns. Matt Driver scoring a rouge on his second punt of the ball game. Jared Kasari, two rushing touchdowns. And Anthony Leo, quarterback sneak. And a Cedric Smith pass from Alex Vraken is the point spread for the Gales. Nick Orr, from about a yard out just a few moments ago, first touchdown of the game for the Warriors, put up 19 last week against Laurier. So far, on pace to beat that here with 10 against the Gales. Low liner of a kick fielded by Russell Weir, and Weir is going to find a little bit of space up the middle, going down at the 35. Good return there from Russell Weir. And something I'd really like to see in this game is a calming of tensions as both teams are getting a little extracurricular after the whistle for my liking. In the words of the great Max Jackson, you know, if you can't play a sport, be one. And it would be great if both of these teams, who can certainly play this sport to the highest level, could also be a sport to the highest level. So there's my, I'm off my soapbox now. It's first and 10 for the Gales from their own 35-yard line. Four receivers on the left-hand side. Vraken to Jack Ashby-Jacobs. Incomplete. The Warriors have got that little tunnel screen completely sussed out. I don't think the Gales are going to throw that again today, as it bounced off Jack Ashby-Jacobs and was nearly picked off. So second and 10 from their own 35. If Waterloo gets the ball back, they'll have at least 45 seconds to work with, try and put more points on the board. We've got three on the left-hand side for the Gales. Vraken rolling, firing. He has got a wide open man. First down for the Gales, Matt Camillo. open on the left-hand side of the field over into Waterloo territory. Great job there by Vraken, working through his progressions, scrambling to find more space. And what more can you say about this offensive line? Gave him plenty of time to make those reads, find his man, and get the Gales onto the Waterloo side of the field, just over midfield. Vraken again. Another completion, this one to Nathan Falcone for a first down. 42 seconds remain in our first half of football action. Gales up 32-10. After a set of first downs, Vraken dropping back again, finding Jack Ashby Jacobs for a good gain on first. Set up second and manageable. Looks like it'll be second and... Oh, wow, good gain of about 7 on the right-hand side. So second and 3 from the Waterloo 32 with about 32 remaining on the clock here. Play-action pass. Vraken to Jack Ashby Jacobs, picked off. Great play there by the Warriors. As Waterloo avoids disaster, Vraken was looking for Jack Ashby Jacobs in the front corner of the end zone by the pylon. Instead, it is picked off, very similar to what we saw from Ashton Miller Melanson last week. Great sideline grab. But Waterloo, if they don't pick something up on first down, are probably going to have to concede a safety to send us into halftime. As it'll be first and 10 from their own 7. Gales will have second half choice when we come back. But we've got a little bit of work to do here first. Handoff. Gain of maybe a yard or two up the middle. And I imagine there will be a timeout issued. As the Waterloo crowd getting loud, trying to get their team back in the ball game here. Timeout issued. So let's throw to a word from our second quarter sponsor, our friends at Old Farm Fine Foods.
Thank you to our second quarter sponsor, Old Farm Fine Foods. Stocking only the finest in locally sourced goods, Old Farm Fine Foods has a sterling reputation for the products it carries and its customer service. Swing by 204 Berry Street Monday through Saturday to get a taste of the farm in the heart of downtown Kingston.
Thank you again to Old Farm Fine Foods and our first quarter and title sponsor, the Grad Club. We've got 19 seconds to play in your first half here, and the Waterloo homecoming. It'll be second and 7 or so from the Waterloo 10. Warriors trying to pick up something forward to avoid conceding another safety before half. Otherwise, you risk punting it back to the Gales with quite friendly field position, especially punting into the wind. Orr is going to roll out left, but oh my goodness! Justin Pace with a heavy shot. Oh my god. This is bad, folks. This is really bad. Nick Orr just took an absolute shot. We aren't going to be showing that one later. Justin Pace gets a flag. And he might very well get kicked out of the game. It was a shoulder, but it was a shoulder to the head, folks. Let's be very honest about what just happened. I don't think Nick Orr is playing the rest of today. There's flags down, but it's not going to matter. Holy moly. As the crowd chants to get Justin Pace kicked out, I don't know about all that. It was certainly a heavy hit to the head, but it was a shoulder to the chest. It wouldn't surprise me. It could go either way, folks, and I would not disagree. I'll put it to you that way. What does matter? What matters more than anything is that we have a tremendous young player who is on the turf here, and we are hoping that it's nothing serious. Because it was an absolutely massive hit. I don't think Nick Orr is playing today. He might be done for the season. As what should be a kind of joyous experience here at homecoming has gotten really ugly, as neither team is playing with a sense of control here. And this is what happens when, Justin, just keep to yourself, young man. You're a tremendous football player, but you don't need to be jawing. You don't need to be celebrating. This is just a worst-case scenario here. It's an ugly game that's going to get uglier if something isn't done by the officiating staff here. Multiple fouls issued. Definitely an unnecessary roughness. I will not disagree with that. But also an offsetting flag. Yeah. So flags on both teams there. Flags on both teams as Orr, unfortunately, is going to require a lot more medical attention than that. This is just really terrible to see, folks. We're hoping he's okay. We talked about this earlier. The safety of the student athletes is what matters most, and you hate to see this. Just a deeply upsetting scene here, folks. As we've got just a terrible situation playing out. Just a terrible situation. Oh, my God. They've got the backboard. Sorry if I sound shaken, folks, but it's just so terrible to see a player in the kind of physical peril that we've got here with Nick Orr. Tremendous player, great kid, hard-working football player. The engine that drives this Waterloo offense, and he is not moved in the better part of 5 minutes. Honestly, I would just send it into half. I would just send it into half. Give the medical staff the time they need to make sure that Nick is okay. Ah, just so frustrating. Just so frustrating. Send it into half. Send it into half. Folks, I apologize if I'm not my exuberant self, but we just saw a really unfortunate play take place here in Waterloo. The star quarterback for the Warriors is on the turf, and he hasn't moved in quite some time. As we're now getting very, very chippy in the stands here, I apologize for the coarse language that you may or may not be hearing. But this is getting really ugly here. I've never seen a football game like this. As there's fisticuffs on the field. There's going to be fisticuffs in the stands here if something doesn't happen soon. This is getting really out of hand. This is getting really out of hand. And I don't like to see the Queen's parents goading. I don't like to see them smiling. This is a serious situation. Let's get security up here. Genuinely, let's get security up here. This is getting really, really ugly, folks. I think we need to bring some event staff up to cool things off because things are going to get really ugly. They are indeed going to go into half. I'm going to keep you folks updated on Nick Orr if I get any more updates. But I don't think we're seeing him today, and that might be it for the season. A really serious situation playing here. We are going to throw it back to the studio. And it's going to be a while, folks, before you hear from me, because there's a lot of medical attention that needs to be tended to here. There's a lot of security assistance that's going to be needed in the stands. This is Gale's game day. We're going into half with a 32-10 scoreline. But we're just hoping that cooler heads can prevail here because the alternative is, not pretty. Folks, I'll be back with you again soon. This is Jesse Bell throwing it to CFRC Studios for about a 10-minute break before we get back with our grad club halftime show.
Now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present Sweat, a new single by local electronic artist Kakao that represents an evolution in his sound. Heavy, hard-hitting electronic dance music, looking toward the future of space and sound expressed in a high-energy, funk-tastic journey. The new song takes listeners to the forefront of the top tier of Kingston music. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Sweat by Cacao on your favorite platforms and enjoy it with us right now here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from Cassador 2, the latest EP from Kingston rockers Cassador. The new EP takes an introspective look into feeling human in the modern day and age, set to an authentic presentation of live performed rock music. The EP, preceding a new album dropping this winter, is a truly local package of talent, featuring writing and performances by Julia Finnegan, Brett Emmons, Nambi, and Justin Rutledge. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Cassador 2 by Cassador on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called Trouble, right here now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a selection from Seth W. J. Hunt's new album, Almost Famous, Almost 25, a collection of songs about heartbreak, anxiety, and the search for self-worth. Written in New York City and recorded in Kingston, the album tells stories of love, loss, and trying to find where you fit in. The music is honest and melodic, blending raw emotion with classic influences from The Strokes, Ryan Adams, The Cure, Oasis, and The Beatles. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Almost Famous, Almost 25 by Seth W.J. Hunt on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it now called Lose My Head with us here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I think I like this line. I think you like it too. Sit in the park, people watching, I'll talk shit to you. Sunsets are getting lonely, sunsets are getting dull. But you're still here beside me, so I'll cherish everyone I know. Been thinking about my drinking, say I need to cool it or you're gonna lose it. And I laugh. You and I will enjoy these times before I go and lose my head. While the songs play by the Grateful Dead. You and I see the skyline.
We're back, folks, to give you an update just to start off our Grad Club halftime show. Before we get into anything else, I will let you know that Nick Orr was conscious. He is being tended to by local medical staff. He has been loaded into the ambulance, and I'm sure they're going to take him to a fantastic facility here in town for further assessment. Just a really scary situation here in a game that's been escalating all day. We saw a very ugly moment as star quarterback Nick Orr taken out of the ball game with just a dreadful hit, for lack of a better word, dreadful hit. So we're gonna rebound, we're gonna try and reset, and we're gonna hopefully be able to give you a great quality broadcast for the second half of our Gales Game Day, brought to you by the Grad Club. But I would be remiss if I did not update you on the full severity of the situation. It's also a very tense atmosphere here in the stands, as there are a lot of Queens parents mixed in amongst the, of course, Waterloo football faithful. And there's been a lot of foolishness directed to each side of the stands. That has been getting quite ugly as well. If you heard any coarse language earlier, I do apologize for that. That is the risk you run when you're in the thick of things like I am now. It's going to be an extended, obviously, halftime period as Nick was just taken off the field. So it's probably about 10 minutes or so before we get into any football action. But that is the update on our end. So a serious injury, but one that will be treated properly. And if I get any further updates on Waterloo's Nick Orr, I will relay them to you. Obviously, we're keeping him and his family and friends in our thoughts. We do have a second half football action coming up. Exact start time to be determined. I am going to take a seat for a moment, folks, as I've been on my feet for the better part of the last hour. Well, let me tell you about our friends at the Grad Club. They are the title sponsor for this season's edition of Gales Game Day. Fantastic event hub restaurant located in the heart of the Queen's University campus. Fantastic food and beverage menu. Astounding vibes. Great place to spend an evening, spend an afternoon. So thank you to the Grad Club. As I compose myself, I'm also going to see if I can get you guys some out-of-town scoreboards. So I am migrating over to OUA TV to see if I can get some updates for you. So, if you're just joining us, let's get back to some semblance of normalcy here. The Gales went into halftime with a 32-10 lead, and there is still plenty of time to play. If you're just joining us, if you're curious, it's for the Toronto and Windsor game. Toronto trails 20-11 on home field there. Would be a huge upset if they can pull off the win against Windsor. Carleton leads York 21-17 in a surprising third quarter score. But the game I'm most curious about is Laurier and Ottawa. A lot of people, myself included, are, let's say, Ottawa skeptics. And as I look at the score, it's 30-11 Laurier. Although Ottawa is on the move and threatening to put points on the board. And for the sake of completion, let's check out, wow, Mac with a 3-point lead over Guelph. Uh-oh. That might be a administration resetting loss for Guelph if they do not prevail over Mac, who are the lone winless team in the OUA. So that's our out-of-town scoreboard. A lot of the expected and a little bit of chaos mixed in there as well, which I could actually say is kind of a microcosm for today's game here at Waterloo. We saw some of what we expected from the Gales with an outstanding offensive outpouring, specifically from Jared Kasari, who kicked off scoring on the very first drive. The second play from scrimmage was a 70-yard touchdown scamper. We also saw touchdowns from Anthony Leo, Cedric Smith, and bookending his successful first half, Jared Kasari again. Kasari with 19 career touchdowns, moving him into a little more rarefied air on the Queen's all-time program rushing touchdown list, also moving himself up the program rushing yardage list. Very possible that he crosses the 3,000-yard threshold, if not today, then next week at home against the York Lions. If you have missed our first half of football action, it started very fun, very fast-paced, free-flowing, and it turned into something quite ugly, and we're hoping that we can get back to a sense of normalcy in the second half. We'll also probably run a little long today. Usually, games like this are done by 3:30, but we had a long prelude to halftime as star quarterback Nick Orr was tended to by the field and then first responding medical staff. If we get any information, any updates on his overall condition and status, of course, I will do my best to relay that to you. He was conscious, he was moving as he was loaded into the ambulance. So we are hoping that it's nothing more than a scary visual, but I am not naive. I don't know if we'll see him again this season with how intense that hit and follow-up was. If you hear any cuss words, folks, I swear it's not me. We are right in the middle of the thick of things here with the press box set up at the beautiful Waterloo Field, the Warrior Field And we are about 5 minutes away from our second half. Next week, we will be back at Richardson Memorial Stadium for the Hall of Fame game against the York Lions. Queens looking to move to 3-2 today, 4-2 next week, and then they have got two clashes against Guelph and Windsor, one on the road, one at home, to close out their regular season. Four more wins will almost certainly get Queens a home playoff game, likely against either Windsor or Ottawa. As we've got incredulity in the press box over a halftime contest for $1,000. Folks, once again, I apologize if I'm a little less composed than normal. We saw some scary stuff to end our first half, and I'm hoping we're going to get, well, maybe the ship has sailed on a clean football game in the second half, but at least a game with minimal extracurricular activity for the sake of the players and actually even the fans and, hey, the broadcasters in the press booth. It's been ugly. Just not what you like to see from university sports. But let's hope the second can avoid some of the mistakes of the first. I will, of course, be here with you to close out our contest today. Your Queens Gaels lead by 22 over Waterloo. And if I'm Queens, I'm just trying to survive and get out of here. That's my goal. That's the name of the game. That is certainly what I would be striving for. If I'm the Queens fans, I'm making sure that, and if you are listening, folks, you know I love you. But don't instigate. Cheer the great plays. Clap for the players as they be helped off the field. Don't jaw jack. Hold yourself to the same high standard that your kids, the kids in this program, do. And if you aren't in here in the stands listening, you've probably got yourself a wonderful experience there at home. You don't have to worry about any of this. But I do thank you for joining us. It's a hot one here in Waterloo, but there is a wonderful wind blowing towards the Waterloo scoreboard. About 2.5 minutes away from the start of our second half of football action, and you're probably going to hear a chorus of boo birds right on cue as the Gaels make their way onto the field. I'm hoping it just stays at boo birds and we don't get any debris making its way field side. Right before the half, Waterloo had a tremendous interception to prevent what would have been an Alex Vraken touchdown strike to Jack Ashby Jacobs. But that was something of a prelude to devastation, as the officials having a quick word with the Queens head coach Steve Snyder and one of the offensive captains, Jazz Kara. I think trying to get cooler heads to prevail. This is Gaels Game Day, season 102 on 101.9. We are just a few moments away from football action. So let's play a word from our halftime show sponsor, the Grad Club. And then we'll get back into the start of our third quarter here in Waterloo. Thank you for joining me, folks. We'll have some more action for you, hot and ready, in just a moment's time.
Looking for the perfect lunch spot on campus? Do you want somewhere that's casual, comfortable, and affordable? Then head on down to the Grad Club at 162 Berry Street. With a warm, inviting atmosphere and an outstanding set of food and drink deals, the Grad Club will both fill your belly and lift your spirits. Follow at the Grad Club on Instagram to get the latest and greatest deals and offers.
And we are back, folks. If you're curious about the status of number 44, Justin Pace, who was the other party involved in that scary situation, he will not be playing the second half. I'm not sure if it's a game misconduct or if it's just maybe a protective decision by the coaching staff, but I certainly do not see him anywhere on the field, which I think is probably for the best, certainly for his safety. So we should be getting a great deal more from number 33, Brandon Spence. And we've already seen some great stuff from number 54, DJ Ryan. It is a 32-10 scoreline here to start our third quarter of football action. Gales game day, live on CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca. I'm just taking a look at the Queen's sidelines. Just to see if there's any other players notable for their absence for half two. But it does not look like it. I am going to hope that cooler heads will prevail and that both of these excellent academic schools can act as smart on the field as they are off of it. And that's all I'll say on that front, as I think Queens will start with the ball in the second half, it looks like. I think Waterloo may have elected to take the wind for the fourth quarter. Not a bad idea. We will also be seeing more from Waterloo's backup quarterback, which it's always great to see other players step up and step in, but this is not really the situation where you want to see that given what happened to lead into it. But it will be number 8, Emmett Ward, serving as the primary signal caller for the Warriors in half two. Alex Vraken will be starting things off for the Gales in half two. A lot of good stuff from him in the first half, just the one mistake and interception near the end zone. And, oh, no, actually, Queen, looking to see here. Russell Weir's back there. So, yes, it will be Queens returning to start us off. The atmosphere here tense, but thankfully has cooled off a little bit since the heightened heyday of the late second quarter. Waterloo will be actually kicking from the Queens 45 due to some of the penalties issued at the end of the first half, which good call by the officiating staff there. They're going to be quick on their whistles. They're going to have to be quick on their whistles in this second half to stop things from getting ugly, or rather uglier. As Evan Astolfo, I imagine this one will actually not carry through the end zone, but Russell Weir will concede a single. As we already have laundry on the field, despite there being no real contact happening. Sure, why not? So Queens will start first and 10. We'll find out from where. Although Waterloo is moving backwards, so I suspect it is indeed on the Warriors. Oh, 15-yard penalty on the Warriors. Must have been taking some notes. I missed it, but one play, one flag. We'll see if that rate continues. It certainly felt close to that at times today. We are just starting our third quarter here on Gales game day, and Queens is actually going to start at their own 50-yard line. We've got Isaiah Adams in the backfield, Nathan Falcone, Jack Ashby Jacobs, and Cedric Smith on the right-hand side. Vraken is going to hand it off to Isaiah Adams. Isaiah Adams breaks left, blows a tire, so will only pick up a short gain. Give him about one, setting up second and 9 from the Queens 51-yard line. Isaiah Adams was breaking right, stopped, tried to swing it around the left-hand side, but lost his footing, touching himself down for a one-yard gain. Passing situation here for the Gaels. Vraken over the middle. That is another catch for a first down by Nathan Falcone, having himself a great game today. First and 10 for the Gaels inside Warrior territory, albeit just barely. It'll be first and 10 from the Waterloo 43. Isaiah Adams, Jack Ashby Jacobs, Cedric Smith, alongside Nathan Falcone. Vraken was looking for Jack Ashby Jacobs. He's going to throw it for Seti. Cedric Smith, one hand only, number one, with an incredible catch to bring the ball to the cusp of the Waterloo end zone. Seti, what a game for Cedric Smith. First touchdown of the season earlier, and he just had the grab of his career there as it's first and goal from the Waterloo 5. An absolute rope from Alex Vraken to Cedric Smith as Isaiah Adams crosses the goal line, his first touchdown of the season, and just like that, Queens is on the board in the third quarter, brought to you by the Alumni Review. More on the Alumni Review in just a moment. As the Gaels, I don't think they'll be able to silence this crowd anymore. They are quite ornery, understandably so. I would be too. But they've at least answered back with a clutch touchdown drive, and now the goal is for these young men to keep it on the field, keep it focused on the field. Tyler Mullen on to try and make this a 39-11 ball game. Established in 1927, the Queens Alumni Review has become an integral part of the alumni experience. Over 109,000 subscription-free copies are distributed annually to alumni, friends of the university, and campus departments. Also, just a general programming note for our social media fans. No clip immediately after the game. I got to drive home. I got like 3.5 hours ahead of me. So stay tuned, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning for your first CFRC Power Plays highlight. Because, man, I ain't sticking around here. I might be feathered and slash or tarred if I stick around too long. 39-11. I would imagine the Gaels are going to probably do one more drive with certainly offense one and then platoon swap. Tyler Mullen will be kicking with the wind at his back. He's been prioritizing big, high arcers, and we're going to see another one here caught right at the one-yard line. And DJ Ryan, wow! DJ Ryan shed his man and made a fantastic special teams tackle there. What a play by DJ Ryan. Speaking of highlights, yeah, you're definitely going to see that one on the social media feed sometime this week. He has been a special teams stud for the Gaels. And he is on defense today as well. He'll be starting as one of the rush ends. First and 10 from the Warrior 14. Emmett Ward, your new quarterback. He's going to hand this one off. And that's a great run from Anthony Miller, making a couple men miss, picking up a first down. And I would expect to see a lot of ground game from here on out. First and 10 from the Waterloo 33, 39-11 ball game. were dropping back, slinging it over. And unfortunately, when you're a rookie, it's tough to complete a pass against a defense this good. Five interceptions last week. Would have had one earlier, but there was an offside on the defense. Ashton Miller-Melançon nearly hauled one in, but bobbled on the dive. Second and 10 from the Waterloo 33. Likely a passing situation. I'd expect to see another screen, possibly. Something, make it easy for your rookie quarterback. And they are going to screen it to Anthony Miller. But there is a holding flag down, and then Miller would have been tackled up well short anyways. So I don't think this will be accepted. I imagine if it's on Waterloo, it's going to be declined, as we have another player down. Albeit this one maybe, hopefully not as serious as some of the others we've seen. But while they tend to, the young man in the black and the gold, let's hear from Queen's Alumni Review. Each issue of the Queen's Alumni Review contains in-depth stories by some of Canada's best journalists, incredible images by award-winning photographers, plus all the news you need to know about the Queen's community. Our upcoming issue will feature exclusive stories about Queen's Explosives Test Facility, the alumnus who is the new commissioner of the Canadian Football League, and a first-person essay by Rector Nikki Boychuk-Hale that explains why the J-Duck is really the heart of campus. Check your mailbox and your inbox mid-November for the next issue. Thank you to the Queen's Alumni Review. Waterloo player still being tended to. We're hoping it's nothing serious. Looks like maybe a lower body injury of some stripe. Hot, sunny day here in Waterloo. If you're just joining us, it's a 39-11 ball game, and we're hoping cooler heads will prevail because it's been quite ugly today. We've seen some outstanding plays from Jared Kasari, two touchdowns so far on the day. Isaiah Adams gets his first of the season. Cedric Smith had an absolute show stealer of a one-handed grab earlier. And he also tallied his first touchdown of the season back in the first half. Jace Baldwin has also been getting some increased special teams reps here, not just on coverage, but now also punt and kick return. We saw some electricity from Jace Baldwin earlier. As the officials are chatting with, it looks like quite cordially, thankfully, with some of the Waterloo players. Giving Anthony Miller his well-earned props. So here we go. We've got Swain on to punt this one into the wind. Jace Baldwin playing shallow as a result. A lot of Swain's kicks, because of the wind, have been a little lower. Never mind. He is going to surrender a safety. So the Gales will move up to 41 and get the ball back on their 35. And we still got Alex Vraken and that coterie of starting offensive players in the ball game. Although if they put more points up, I suspect that may be the last time we see them with how this game has gone. Jared Kasari had a crowd-silencing touchdown to start the game on just his very first carry. Play-action pass. Quick hitter to Mateo Tuioti. Mateo Tuioti. He's just such a problem when you get the ball in his hands. First down for number 87 in the tricolor. Or maybe a little bit short. Oh, they mark him short. So it'll be second and about two after an 8-yard gain on first down for Mateo Tuioti. Second and two from the Queen's 43 here in Waterloo. Hand off to Jared Kasari. Jared Kasari up the middle, first down, and then some. Still rumbling. wrestling Jared Kasari like he was shot out of a cannon, cutting through the formidable Warrior defense for another big gain. Well over 100 yards now for Jared Kasari as he creeps ever closer to 3,000 on his career. I think he's going to get it next week against York. Of course, his career high, his program record-setting game back in 2023 against York, over 280 yards and, what, five touchdowns? Unbelievable. Multiple men in motion on the right-hand side. Vraken is going to hand it off to Kasari again. Kasari is looking left, but stopped up after a short gain, maybe 2-3 yards at most. Setting up a second and about 7 or so from the Waterloo 40.